Elijah, we've been killing cows and we've been burning plows and we've been digging ditches and we've been gathering jars. Several of you have said that this surrender series has been thought-provoking. Others have said that it has been life-changing. This morning, we're going to discover how to get our spiritual edge back. We need to focus on restoring our passion for God. Before we dive into our text, how many of you find yourselves often looking for things that you have misplaced? Anybody here have trouble with misplaced things? More than I thought. Forgetting stuff is easy, right? We've all spent mornings frantically searching for our keys or our cell phones. The only thing worse is if we misplace the remote control to the TV. That seems to be the worst. According to Lost and Found survey released by Pixie, Americans collectively spend $2.7 billion every year replacing items that we cannot find. That's amazing. $2.7 billion every year replacing items we cannot find. Two-thirds of us will spend over $50 this year replacing the items that we cannot find. And that's not all. The everyday items we often misplace and the amount of time we spend searching for them is pretty startling. Believe it or not, Pixie's research reveals that Americans spend an average of 2.5 days a year looking for misplaced stuff. 2.5 days trying to locate misplaced things. That's nearly half a work week that we burn searching for lost things. But time lost isn't the only costly consequence of being forgetful. The study also shows that 60% of people have either been late to work or school because of lost items. 49% have missed appointments or meetings, and 22% have missed flights, trains, or bus rides. So it turns out that misplacing things is a major drain on our schedule and also on our finances. This morning, we're going to discuss losing something else. There's a good chance that for many of you who are followers of Christ, there's a good chance that you have actually lost something that is spiritual in nature. Some of you may have lost your passion for God. You have lost your passion for the things of God. You have lost the joy of your salvation. You once were on fire for God, but right now you're not. There used to be this deep-seated spiritual contentment and joy about your life, but somehow along the way, you have lost it. Some of you, at one time, you possessed great faith. I mean, you prayed and you believed God for big things and you held to a sure hope and a God who was good. But today, you're not praying for much of anything. Perhaps you're not even sure what you believe about all of this. At one time, you had something very important spiritually, but you've lost it along the way. As we consider the prophet Elijah, we're going to look today at one of the oddest miracles in all of the Bible. In fact, if we were to survey the different miracles that Elijah performed, there were some really big things, important miracles that he did. For example, he healed a poisoned body of water, which saved an entire community. Elijah raised a boy from the dead. As we learned last week, the prophet provided for a widow who would have lost her two sons to creditors after her husband had died. Elisha healed Naaman from leprosy. He blinded an entire army in an effort to move forward the things of God in battle. Elijah did all these significant things, and in this miracle that we will explore today, we learn about a seminary student who borrowed an axe. And while he was chopping on a tree, the axe head flew off the handle and into the water. And then Elijah, the man of God, took a stick and he threw it in the water, and the axe head floated to the water's surface. If we had been there, if we had witnessed that, we would have all said, wow, that's amazing. Elijah made an axe head float, and that's cool, but we want to know, what is the significance of this miracle? Friend, let me give you a couple things that are significant before we dive into the story. One thing you need to know is that iron was very valuable at this time. Iron was hard to come by. For this young man studying under the prophet Elijah, for this student who lost the axe head, he was likely very poor. You might compare him to a college student that's living on student loans and, and eaten ramen noodles every meal. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? This guy had borrowed this axe head, and if he lost it, there was no way that he would be able to pay it back. He was what we call a non-profit prophet. You're going to have to work with me this morning, guys. A non-profit prophet. He's broke. This student, he doesn't have much, and he loses this axe head. And then we see the man of God bring the axe head to the surface of the water, which I think shows us very clearly that our big God actually cares about the little details in our lives. And that's very comforting to me. That no matter what you're going through, if you've got a headache, God cares. Guys, if you have a chemistry test, when you come back from fall break, God cares. When your car won't start, God cares. If you can't find your cell phone, God probably laughs, but he still cares. God cares about even the little things. So let's jump into this story and let's identify some valuable principles that we can learn and apply to our lives. I want to make sure that we understand the context. If you remember, Elijah was mentored by Elijah. And now we find Elisha, he's mentoring the next generation of young prophets who want to learn. So there are all these younger prophets, and they want to study from the best of the best. So Elisha, he built a school for prophets. It's a not-for-profit prophet school that he built, right? And the school's growing. In fact, the school is growing so quickly that they outgrow the school. So let's look at the story. 2 Kings chapter 6, look in verse 1. We are told, "Now the sons of the prophets said to Elijah, 'Behold now, the place before you where we are living is too limited for us.'" In other words, they didn't have enough space. It's time for a building campaign. They've outgrown their space, right? Verse 2, "Please let us go to the Jordan and each of us take from there a beam and let us make a place there for ourselves where we may live." So Elijah said, "Go." One of the students said to Elijah, "Please be willing to go with your servants." And he answered, "I shall go." So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. Now here comes the action. Don't miss this. "But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, 'Alas, my master,' for it was borrowed." So if you're following this, we've got chop, 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 right? Followed by this axe head, kaplunk, and it hits the water. Y'all are impressed by my sound effects, aren't you? So the student cries out and he says, "Alas, my master." Some translations, "Oh no, my lord." You notice he didn't say a bad word. "Oh no, my lord, for it was borrowed." In verse 6, we are told, "Then the man of God said, 'Where did it fall?' And when the student showed Elijah the place, Elijah cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. He said, 'Take it up for yourself.' So the student put out his hand and took it up." Now, besides God caring about the little details, there's a major idea that I want us to embrace internally today. It is an idea that we're going to come back to again and again in this message. The idea is this, that God knows how to help you find what you did not mean to lose. Say that with me. God knows how to help you find what you did not mean to lose. For those of you who lost something spiritual in nature, I want you to hear me today. We serve a God who is totally into restoration. Listen, our good God knows how to help you find what you didn't mean to lose. Now, as we talk about losing the axe head or losing our spiritual edge, I want to show you metaphorically how this could apply to your spiritual life. I want to teach this symbolically. The big question is this: how did you lose your spiritual edge? For those who are Christians, I urge you this morning, be honest. Be honest. How have you lost your spiritual edge? Some of you may say, "Well, I haven't lost my spiritual edge. I'm on fire for God. I'm sold out to Him." And if that is you, then I celebrate with you. And I thank God for you. And I encourage you to keep doing what you're doing so that your spiritual passion remains high. But I would guess that for many who are followers of Christ, you might agree that there has been a time in your life when you were more into the things of God than you are today. Some, if you were honest, would say, "Jason, I have lost my spiritual edge." You recognize that there was a time when You had committed Christians in your life, people who prayed for you and with you and encouraged you in the things that matter most. But as you inventory your life today, you have a few Christian friends, but they're not really building you up in the things of God. And you would admit that you've lost your spiritual edge. For some of you, there was a time when you served in this church, and so you have experienced the thrill of being used by God. You know what it's like to take the spiritual gifts that God has given you and to make a difference. Ministry can be hard. But for you, it was fulfilling. It was satisfying. But you got busy with other things. You let lesser things distract you. Maybe you intended to plug back in, but the truth is that you haven't. And today you recognize that you're missing something. Because you know what it's like to be used by God, but now life for you pretty much is all about you. For others, there was a time when you had great passion for prayer. I mean, you would get up early and you would pray long and for lots of people. And now, quite honestly, you may pray over a meal or you may pray about the big things, but you haven't prayed in a significant way in a very long time. Some of you, at one point in your life, you loved to share your faith with those who are lost. You had a deep love for those who are outside the family of God. But something happened along the way, and even though you used to be committed to help others without Christ, you can't even recall the last time you had a spiritual conversation with someone who was not a follower of Jesus Christ. For some of you, if you're honest, you would confess your standards have eroded. Years ago, you possessed such strong Christian values. When you were tempted, you were resolved. I'm not gonna give in. I'm not gonna cave to the pressure because that's not pleasing to God. But something happened. Something changed. You gave in to compromise. You may have thought, well, I'll just do this once. But now you're cutting corners and you're taking shortcuts and you're doing things that you certainly should not be doing. Maybe you question, how did I get way over here? I used to do this, and now look where I ended up. How have you lost your spiritual edge? Friend, the truth is that it can happen to any of us. Amen? It can happen to any one of us. Each of us are vulnerable to losing our spiritual edge. It happens in part because we have a spiritual enemy whose mission is to steal and to kill and to destroy everything that matters to the heart of God. I can tell you that it happened to me years ago when I first became a pastor. I just knew that being a pastor, that when I studied and I sat down at my desk, that my Bible would kind of hover over the table. I had this idea that you could turn the lights off and I would glow in the dark because the anointing of God, that it would just glow in the dark. And these are all of the thoughts I had about being a pastor. I loved being the pastor. I felt I had an image to portray. And church, what I didn't realize is that I had been called into a very difficult job that almost beat the life out of me. Shepherding a local church can be really hard. And I remember reading something that Bill Hybels had written about his own life. He said, the way I was doing the work of God almost destroyed the work of God in me. And church, that's exactly what happened to me. I realized one time I stood to pray in the middle of a worship service at the church where I was pastoring. And right in the middle of the prayer, I realized that I hadn't prayed personally all week long. Here I was praying publicly, but not privately. I would study the Bible, but primarily it was to preach the word. It wasn't for personal devotion. And in the middle of this season, this was 20 plus years ago, God showed me very clearly what had happened. I had become a full-time pastor and a part-time follower of Christ. And I believe the reason that it's so quiet right now is because many of you can relate. You have become a full-time parent and a part-time follower of Christ. You become a full-time business person and a part-time follower of Christ. You are a full-time student, a part-time follower of Christ. And you didn't mean to lose your edge, but you did. You didn't mean to stop praying with your spouse, but you did. You didn't mean to fall back into old patterns and become addicted again, but you did. You didn't mean to drift from the love and the intimacy that you shared with God. You didn't choose to become depressed and empty and hollow in the inside, but you did. You didn't mean to end up pursuing the emptiness of material possessions, but you did. You didn't mean to become a part-time follower of Christ, but that is exactly what has happened. And friend, you've lost your spiritual edge. So what do? When you're swinging away and the edge flies off, how do you get your edge back? Well, let's look at this story with Elijah and the young prophet. And I pray that God will allow us to see how we can apply symbolically some lessons from this story that will help us regain our spiritual edge. Two lessons about how we get our edge back. And the first is this: you must be honest about where you lost it. That's where it begins. You've got to be honest about where you lost it. Check out verse 6. The man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And I would ask each one of you this morning, where did you lose your spiritual edge? Where did you start to lose it? You're all smart people, and if you look back, you will likely say, yeah, I remember when I took a wrong turn. I remember when I made some friends and they were the wrong friends. I remember when I started dating the wrong guy or the wrong girl. Maybe for you, you dropped the discipline. You used to pray and you stopped. Or you used to be devoted to reading God's word every day and you stopped. You used to be a tither and you stopped. You used to be involved in a Sunday school class where others would speak into your life and you stopped. For some of you, you were hurt by someone in the church and you have allowed your heart to grow hard and you blame God for what someone else did. Friend, be honest about where you lost your spiritual edge. For me, I can pinpoint what happened. Here's what happened to me as a young pastor. The problem is that I started to care more about what other people thought about my spiritual life than I cared about my spiritual life. In other words, what happened is I cared more about the appearance than I did the substance. So I challenge you to be honest about where you lost your spiritual edge. The second thing I believe this text would teach us is this. First, be honest about where you lost it. And secondly, with God's help, take back what you lost. With God's help, take back what you lost. Friend, the truth is that our God specializes in helping you find what you did not mean to lose. We see it in verses 6 and 7. Look with me. Then the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And when he showed him the place, Elijah cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. Elijah said, "Take it up for yourself." So he put out his hand and took it. Church, with God's help, we must take back what we've lost. You might remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about digging ditches, and we learned that only God can send the water, but sometimes he asks us to dig the ditch. And last week, we were challenged with the truth that only God can multiply the oil, but he wants you to gather the jars. This week, we recognize that only God can make the axe head float, but he wants you and me to lift it out. He wants you to take back what you have lost as he brings it back within your reach. Friend, I can assure you that the moment you think, maybe I can get it back, maybe I can get my spiritual edge back, the moment you think that, you're going to hear another voice saying something like this: "Oh, no, you can't. You've blown it. It's been too long. You've gone too far. You've done too much. You can never have it back." And I need to tell someone here today that with God, it's not too late to be the person that you could have been. With God, it's not too late to get back what you thought you could never have again. Friend, it's not too late to have what you used to have, and even more with the power of our God. Friend, you haven't gone too far. You haven't done too much. Why? Because our God specializes in helping you find what you didn't mean to lose. What does God want you to do? He is going to bring your spiritual edge within reach. But you've got to lift it out. You've got to grab it back. In other words, you have to go after it. And here's what you do. It's simply this. You do what you can do. And you trust God to do what you cannot do. Say that with me. You do what you can do. And you trust God to do what you cannot do. Let me ask, can any of you make an axe head float? You have that kind of power or authority? Nope, we don't. We can't do that. Can you lift an axe head out of the water when God brings it to the surface? Absolutely. You can do that. In your own power, can you create spiritual passion and faith? You can't do that. But you know what the Scripture does say? The Scripture teaches that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So what can you do? You can commit to hearing God's Word on a daily basis so that God can build and strengthen and stretch your faith. You know that God hears and answers prayer, so you can choose to pray daily, even when you don't feel like it. You can choose to worship, even when you're not feeling it. Friend, you can choose to share your faith with others, even though you don't have all the answers. You can search for God again, because the Bible teaches that when you seek God with all of your heart, you will find Him. Friend, you take what is available to you. You do what you can do, and you trust God to do what you cannot do. I love Revelations 2, 4, and 5. Jesus' letter to the church, a church full of people who were in the same place that many of us are today. And listen to what Jesus said. He says, "You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen." And notice what he instructed them to do next. He said, "Repent." That word repent, it means to agree with God about the seriousness of your sin. Turn back to God. In other words, come home. Turn from your sin. Turn from your apathy and your complacency. Repent, and then do what? Do the things that you did at first. Do the things you did at first. Church, if you want what you once had, then you have to do what you once did. When God brings it in reach, you must lift it out. You do what you can do, and you trust Him to do what you cannot do. Church, this was my story. I was so passionate for the things of God that I thought that passion would never go away. And guess when it went away? It went away while I was serving Him in the church. When externally everything looked great, internally it was not what it once was. So what did I do? After recognizing I lost my edge, I went back and I began to do what I did at first. I recommitted to those things that brought passion and life and faith. And not only did I recommit, but I committed even more. I prayed and fasted so that spiritually I would reconnect with God. I increased the percentage of what we were already giving just to remind myself that life is not about the things of this world, but my investment is in the glory and the kingdom of our God. I made a commitment that I would seek God first every single day, a commitment that I would be in His Word daily so that my faith would increase through the hearing of His Word. I made a decision that every time I met someone who did not show any sign of being a follower of Christ, that I would make a twist, that I would take conversation and I would turn it in such a way so that I could reveal to that person who I am as a follower of Christ, so that if God opened the door, I would take the conversation further and I would share the gospel. And church, let me tell you what God did. When I reached out, He brought the edge within grabbing distance, and I grabbed it. Now when I preach out of the overflow of my passion for the kingdom of God. I preach to bring glory to Him and to reach people who need to know Him. And I can testify firsthand that God specializes in helping us get back what we didn't mean to lose. I don't know how this will apply to you, but I do know that God wants to help you get back what you didn't mean to lose. Friend, you began to do what you can do, and you trust God to do what you cannot do. Our God is indeed a God of restoration. I had a church member who served in a church where I was pastor. The man and his wife asked to meet with me, and during our time together, he disclosed that he had been unfaithful to his wife. I saw that he was not just remorseful about his sin, but this man was deeply repentant. And I asked this man to step down from some places of leadership in the church, and he reluctantly agreed. I shared with him the story of Elijah healing Naaman, who was sick with leprosy. And we discussed how Naaman was dipped in the river and how he came out with his skin completely restored. And the Hebrew word for restore is the word shub, S-H-U-B. Literally, it means to be made better than new. And I told this man that if he would stay humble and repentant, if his wife could somehow find the grace to stay with him and to work through this issue with him, that God could make their marriage better than new. I told him that perhaps one day, by the grace of God, he would even be restored to ministry, and that his ministry could even be made better than new. And church, I can testify that their marriage went from broken to strong. Their marriage was healed. It was restored. Why? Because our God specializes in bringing back what we didn't mean to lose. Listen, what the enemy means for evil, our God will use for his good. Now, I don't know where you are. I don't know how you're hurting this morning. I don't know how far you've drifted, but I am certain of this. You have not gone too far. Friend, you can be the person that you were meant to be because God specializes in helping people find what they didn't mean to lose. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 3, 4, and 5 says, God will restore everything you have lost. He will have compassion on you. He will come back and pick up the pieces from all of the places you were scattered. No matter how far away you end up, your God will get you out of there and bring you back to the land your ancestors once possessed. It will be yours again. He will give you a good life and make you more numerous than your ancestors. And you might question, but why would God do that? Because we serve a God who specializes in helping people find what they didn't mean to lose. Friend, that is how good our God is. When God makes the axe head float, you must take the initiative to lift it out and to grab it. Some of you today are under conviction because you had it. You had it, but you've lost it. There was a time when you were more passionate for God than you are right now. There was a time when you were more on fire for Him than you are today. There was a time when you cared more than you care now. And you acknowledge that you've lost your spiritual edge and you'd like to have it back. With God's help, I pray that you will lift it out. I pray that you will recognize just how far you've fallen. And I urge you to repent, to turn away from your sin. And I would encourage you to recommit yourself to do the things you once did so that you will have the faith that you once had. Will you commit to seek after God with all of your heart? Will you do what you can and trust God to do what only He can do? I pray God would restore your spiritual passion to a greater place than you ever had before. I pray that you would be so overflowing with His love that wherever you go, people would want what you have. They would want to experience God's grace and His presence and His power. God, help us find what we didn't mean to lose. For some of you today, it's not that you've lost your spiritual edge, but you never had it to begin with. You've never experienced the joy of knowing that you are forgiven by Christ. You've never had God's power available to help you. You've never experienced the supernatural peace of God which transcends your human ability to understand. You say, Jason, I don't know what the problem is. Many of us go through life, and we kind of believe in God, and we sort of go to church, and we try to do good things, but we end up doing bad things. And the problem is that we never fully realize that because of our sin, we have been separated from a holy God. But friend, because of His goodness, God sent His Son Jesus to become sin for us on the cross. Friend, Jesus came to die for you and for me. And then God raised Him the third day, so that anyone who calls on His name will be transformed, spiritually healed, and totally forgiven. If you were honest, some of you would acknowledge, I've never experienced those things you talked about, but I want it. I'd love to experience that. I need God's forgiveness. I want to live for things that will outlast me. I want to know the assurance that I belong to God. And if that is you, friend, then right where you are this morning, you call upon God. How do I do that? You just say, yes, God, I need your grace. God, I need your forgiveness. I want your salvation. Today, God, I turn from my sin and I put my trust completely in you. Save me. Come live inside of me as I give my life to you. Friend, let me tell you, salvation is too good to keep to yourself. I urge you to come and share publicly your decision to follow Jesus. If you need to pray at the altar, then I'll meet you here. If you've lost your spiritual edge and you'd like to see it restored, then you commit this morning to do what you can do, and you trust God to do what you can't. If God's leading you to become a part of this church family, I urge you to say yes to Him. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You that You are a God of restoration. That, Father, You're able to take those things that are broken, those things that create distance in our fellowship with You. And Father, You help us to work through those things so that our passion for You will be made even better than before. Lord, I pray that You would convict our hearts this morning. Father, for those who have lost their edge, I pray that You would give them wisdom and discernment to understand where they lost their edge. And God, as You bring it back within arm's length, they will reach out and grab it. And if that means being in Your Word so that our faith can be renewed, Lord, help us to make that commitment. If it means reconnecting with a church family, then Father, put that on our hearts. Lord, whatever You choose to do today, we pray that Your will be done. God, I lift up those who are without a relationship with You. Father, for those here this morning who might say, I want to know Jesus. I want to experience His love, His forgiveness, peace. God, I pray right where they are this morning that they'll trust You, that they will exchange their sin for salvation, their guilt for Your grace. Your Word says that the moment of salvation, You make us new on the inside. Father, we pray that would happen today in this place, and we give You all honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning.